Derek, that honey's a big hit.
Beautiful. Hello tonight. This is CJ, Brad, Derek. This is The Rockwire. What I have for you tonight is thrash metal heaven. Geezer thrash, if you will. Harry King, Anvil, Accept, and a special little treat from the new Bruce Dickinson from The Whiskey.
Is that me?
And we got it halfway right.
Let's
Kerry
do
King
some
actually built a killer lineup. He got Kyle Sanders from Hell Yeah to play bass, who is probably the least known person on the band. Also, I guess he kept Paul Bostaph because he used to be the drummer for Slayer, but he recruited Phil Demmel, the guitar player for Violence and Machine Head, and also somehow he convinced Mark Ozzaghetta to be the singer for this band, who is also, of course, the vocalist for Death Angel. So yeah, a pretty cool lineup. So yeah, just being into metal, even though I don't really particularly love all of these bands, you know you would at least get a good product, and that we did. Now of course, Kerry King, after bashing his old bandmates, he's got to put his money where his mouth is. I mean, seriously, he just recently said that he had to record all of Slayer's bass because Tom Araya couldn't record his own bass parts. And of course, more shockingly, he said that Dave Lombardo is dead to him. So yeah, now he has to impress the fuck out of us. And now...
All right. God. What is it with guitarists always talking shit about bass players? Bass players don't get any respect. Now, we've had the first Kerry King, the Idle Hands. We all liked Idle Hands, right?
I believe so.
Yes, classic Slayer.
This new band sounds like Slayer. Let's hear it.
Spoiler alert.
So they're keeping the satanic vibe going.
That is the new Harry King's for model from Dean. About $6,500 if you want one.
It's heavy as hell, isn't it?
All right, I gotta be the first asshole tonight. I feel like he's reciting his grocery list to his wife over the phone, and she's having a hard time hearing him.
I disagree. You don't like the sound of his vocals?
I'm just saying the cadence stuff.
Okay, I hear.
Ooh.
right. So we got lots of fire. We got a burning pentagram. Derek, what do you think about Mark's vocals?
I agree.
Compared to Tom.
No, I agree. I think his vocals are, I think I like him. He's from Death Angel, isn't he? I like Death Angel. But I understand what Brad's talking about. It's like kind of the cadence. Yeah, it's kind of, I wish it was maybe a little bit different. I can see that. I liked it. I thought it was fine.
Brad, did you see that Jackson Kelly in there? A little two-tone for you. What do you think about Carrie's guitar solo on this one?
I thought, you know, it wasn't too bad. It was a little blended where they had a little harmonizing. I kind of like that.
I thought he struggled, but dude. But he played, man, lots of screaming, lots of fire, heavy as fuck. I dug it. So here's a little bit of Harry King talking with Loudwire about the five shows he was in Megadeth.
In 1984, you joined Dave Mustaine's new band, Megadeth. Jeff was worried about your decision, and while Mustaine wanted you to play on a permanent basis, you left Megadeth after playing five concerts.
I did play Megadeth's first five shows.
First five shows, all right.
And that being said, I was one of the lucky people, and there's certainly no offense against Kirk Hammett. Kirk's a wonderful friend of mine, but I was lucky enough to see Metallica with Mustaine. And I say that because it's just a rare thing to be able to say that. I saw them play at the Woodstock, and I was so intrigued by Mustaine because he was just ripping on guitar and looking out that way somewhere. And I'm like, I can't do that this fucking day. You know, so I was just blown away at his guitar playing. And then to find out, I think it was through BC Rich, because we all played BC Rich back then. I think it was through BC Rich I found out that Dave was inquiring if I would play. And at the end of the day, I thought, this is a gigantic learning situation, you know? And I also thought, you know, people would see me and know me from Slayer, because, I mean, we only went to the Bay Area, you know? Yeah. That's still when we only got up there. So I think if people saw me, it would at least make them think Slayer. So I had Slayer's best intentions in mind. I didn't go and say, hey, I'm going to be in Megadeth. I don't know why anybody can be in Megadeth for more than a couple hours, because that guy's crazy.
Any personal experience? Only five shows?
First five.
Any weird experiences with him in those five shows, or just, we know that
he was cooler. He was cooler back then.
Oh,
weren't we all?
I think there's been a lot of drugs and funny extracurriculars between now and then that helped shape who he is today. But it was good times back then. Playing all the venues Slayer played, and just, I don't know, playing different music. His stuff is definitely more, I don't say intricate, because we got intricate parts too, but it's just, he writes riffs in a very different perspective, and I, even after playing with him for a number of months, is still, I wouldn't do it. It's just not my style.
Gotcha. It said that the split, when you did leave Megadeth, it caused a rift between yourself and Dave Mustaine, which evolved into a long-running feud between Megadeth and Slayer.
Yeah.
Yeah?
That's fair.
Who doesn't Dave Mustaine feud with?
Right.
I would love to lock Dave Mustaine and Sebastian Bach in a room together.
Oh, God.
See what would happen.
Dave Mustaine's coming out of there alive. No. It ain't gonna be Sebastian.
No. Harry King, to me, comes off like a dick in a lot of interviews. But I've actually decided I'm wrong, because I appreciate his honesty. And he's a fucking great quote. He's a great interview. And when he sold his soul to the devil for Slayer, he obviously asked for the Fountain of Youth, because dude looks fucking great. Brad, your thoughts on Kerry King before we move on?
Well, you know, I never really appreciated Slayer. Yeah, I listened to him, but I didn't really... I always thought they were like a 7 or 8 on the thrash metal chart. And they're in the top 4 is what most people consider them. So I'm kind of impressed, and especially hearing that interview. I actually have more of an appreciation. He's a solid guitarist. He's not a ripper.
Anything to add, Derek?
From the interview, you want to move him up. I mean, that's not musically. You want to move
up. No, I'm not. I'm still not moving Slayer up. I'm not moving Slayer up. I'm saying I'm impressed with him.
Okay. No, can't wait to hear some more music from him. Cool.
The first song was awesome.
If you were going to do your big four, obviously Megadeth and Metallica are one and two. Who's in if you took Slayer out?
I know. Testament, Testament, Testament.
Brad?
I think Anthrax.
No. They already are in it.
They already are in.
In the top four?
Yeah.
He didn't say them. No. Well, he said two. He gave us two. I'm giving you Anthrax.
No, Anthrax is already in there. So it's Anthrax, Megadeth, and
Never mind. Shut up.
Testament.
All right. This is a little.
In a new interview with Australia Scars and Guitars Podcast, former Accept singer Udo Dirkschneider was asked if he has had any contact with Accept's guitarist Wolf Hoffmann in recent years. He responded,
"Never. And I don't want to have any contact with him. It's a different story, you know, but I'm really good friend now again with Peter Baltus.
Yeah.
He did all the bass guitars on this cover album, for example. I still have a good relationship with Stefan Kaufmann. I mean, all over the years, he was the guitar player in UDO, you know. He was producing with UDO and stuff like that. Mm. And the only guy I don't want to talk to, let's say in this way, is Wolf. I mean, there's a lot of reasons why. But this is, okay.
So if you're waiting for the UDO reunion, ain't happening.
Can I say one thing?
Yes.
The Balls to the Wall album cover is one of the gayest looking album covers I've ever seen in my life.
I was going to make a Rob Halford comment. Because he reminds me of Rob Halford.
I didn't realize his old haircut. Small he is. To hear him talk, I can't believe that's the guy who sings Balls to the Walls. Anyway, the new Accept.
Without Udo. Ooh.
I like this riff.
Dang.
Why is Slat or Thrash song so long?
Yeah.
All I like right. the riffs.
Udo Who. I fucking love this song.
So Wolf yeah. is the only original member of the band anymore.
Well, I don't know, Wolf... if you're an Accept fan, you liked him back in the day, you have to, well, I don't know. Do you love Udo so much that you can't get down with this new version? But I think they're better than they were back then.
Brad, have you ever saw Accept?
No.
Derek?
No. Do they tour a lot, you know?
I have not ever saw.
Probably not Accept in the States.
Either. So here's a little cut from the Metal Voice where the new singer, the new Udo, Mark, is talking about them not touring in America, but North America is going to get a few dates. So if you ever want to see them, this is probably your last shot.
So as you're saying, Mark's a new singer. He's joined the band in 2009.
Well, yeah.
I know. He's a new old singer.
No, that's actually important. That's a good quality clarification. But listen, man, you think Accept, you think Balls the Walls. It's not Udo. Right. Mark's here. I actually think he's better. Let's hear from the man.
I think Mark's balding. That's why he always wears a hat.
We'd have to call an ambulance.
What has always been your challenges to tour the U.S.? Wolf is based in the U.S. You're based in the U.S. You would think it'd be that much easier, right, to tour the U.S.?
You would. It's just we don't have that kind of following in the U.S. that we have everywhere else in the world. So, you know, the money's not there. It's rough. Whoa. But we are going to make a run this year, and we'll see how it plays out.
Yeah, that's what we were wondering.
If there's any yet, but it is in the works.
Okay, so North America or yes. just U.S.?
North America.
Okay, good.
So U.S. and Montreal
or Toronto.
I have not seen the final schedule yet, so I'm not at liberty to say anything, and none of that's been announced. So
I got you.
We'll play that by ear. Right now we're working, you know, we have South America in May, summer festivals in Europe, and a European headline tour starting in October. So somewhere between the summer festivals and October, we should be doing a U.S. run.
Okay. Right.
Why do the South Americans get heavy fucking metal more than the United States?
They support it. They're not listening to all this pop shit.
You wonder if it is what we're fed. All right, so...
Oh, it's gotta be. I mean...
So here's Steve Kudrow Lips from Anvil. He is talking about just making records and just fucking driving on rock and roll forever. Also, the Metal Voice. Great show, by the way. Keeping the geezer metal relevant.
Maybe there's another album or two, but what I generally mean, the way we were, I mean, Metal on Metal was my second album. Right. I'm just generally saying the beginning of
the
my
only
career,
hit metal on metal.
I'm fucking 67, dude. I got heart problems. I don't know how much longer I got. You know what I mean? Life has a beginning, middle, and end. That's the way it works for everybody. No one gets out alive.
No exceptions. So speaking back then, Forged in Fire released in 83. Are you going to do any of these 50th anniversary or 40th anniversary tours, I should say, like a lot of bands, where they just play a lot of songs off of that album?
Because Anvil stayed relevant, and we put out albums every couple of years for 45 years. Yeah. Why am I celebrating something that happened in 83 when I've got to promote what I'm doing now? Doesn't make sense.
I think it makes perfect sense.
No sense to me.
Great point.
Can we expect new songs at this point?
The audience that we are drawing in this day and age don't even barely know that shit.
That's true. I've seen that at the last concert here in Montreal. That's what it was. A lot of younger,
all young people, man. They know what we've done recently, in recent years, since the movie. It's remarkable. It's unique to Anvil. It's not like that for everybody, because not everybody had a documentary that did that well. It's just the way that it played itself out.
Here's the new one from Anvil. Go ahead, Derek.
I was just going to say real quick, Anvil, the story of Anvil is a documentary about Anvil. It's from 2008. You should watch it. It's really, really good. You can watch it on YouTube video, Hulu, Sling, Amazon Prime, Paramount. Watch it.
I got the trailer for it coming up after this. So here's the new one. Let's roll it.
Oh, Anvil is a three-piece.
Yes. This video reminds me of the AC/DC Thunderstruck set.
No. It's the...
Oh, I like it already.
Feed your fantasy. Feed your fantasy. Feed your fantasy. Feed your fantasy.
Hey, CJ, can you turn it up?
Your dream come true. What you do, living it through and feed your fantasy, feed your fantasy, make your time worthwhile, make you smile, live to win with a grin. Feed your fantasy, feed your fantasy, don't you scheme. Live the dream, feed your fantasy, what it's got to be. Happiness is for the soul to feed, taking control, taking the lead, your fantasy. Don't you scheme, live the dream. Feed your fantasy, what it's got to be. Feed your fantasy. Feed your fantasy, what it's got to be. Feed your fantasy.
Feed your fantasy. All right, Lips.
Anvil was one of those bands that just put on this really amazing live performance.
All right. If you never saw the movie, Derek referenced it. Here's the trailer.
Watch it, butthole.
They're a great band, yeah. I always liked Anvil.
In the summer of 1984, Anvil toured the world with the biggest bands in rock.
These guys are going to turn the music world upside down.
All of them sold millions of records around the world. All of them, but one.
One thing that's really good, man, is that we found those sleeping bags.
This is where we learned how to play.
Yeah. We're like brothers.
We were just innocent kids. We didn't really know what we were doing.
Crappy productions, crappy management.
My name is Tiziana Rigoni, manager Anvil.
It looks like she's booked us a tour.
England, Belgium, Germany. This is going to be the biggest tour I've done in 20 years.
When I work at Choice Children's Catering, they don't know that my band even exists.
Welcome to Romania.
The place is jam-packed.
Given your reputation, you should be playing in front of 1,000 people every night, and you are not.
I missed our train.
Hi.
It's so unprofessional what we are going through.
Who's the guy that's supposed to pay me?
It's been nothing but a nightmare.
It's over. It's been over for a long time.
It's so unfair to Anvil. It's so unfair to Anvil.
I stay dedicated to what?
Rob, I don't want to fight with you.
Who's the closest person I got in the world?
I started out with Rob when I was 14 years old, and we said, we're going to do it till we're old men. We really meant that.
They should have made it a lot bigger.
I think even he knows at the end of the day, the family is what's important.
I always believe that no matter how hard it gets, there's always a way.
Let's show the world that they're wrong.
Amen! We're gonna do it together. We're gonna get there. We're gonna be rock stars. It's a dream, but I'm gonna make it come true. So good.
When I saw Anvil, I actually saw them on the documentary tour, and the way they did it is, it was probably about a 700-800 person club, fucking sold out too. It was a tough ticket because it was small, but it was a tough ticket. So you go in, you know, you get your drinks, you're mingling at the bar, and they show the fucking movie. And as the credits roll, the screen comes up and bam, Anvil's on stage and really? They're rocking for their concert. And it was so cool. And they're so fucking likable. And it's one of the best rock docs ever. Anything you want to add? Then. Yeah. Anything you want to add, Brad?
Yeah. That video where you were saying it was like AC/DC, Sam Kinison, Wild Thing. That's what that setup was like. I appreciate really that song was actually pretty good.
It had a good groove to it. It could have been a minute, probably shorter, but it had a good groove. I like it.
Maybe thrown another line or two into the chorus and the lyrics.
A more guitar fills, but
whatever. I'm not fucking ripping those guys.
No, I got a soft spot.
That
in my
bass
heart.
Player had better teeth than you did. See.
Well, there was an ice cream cone incident that fucked up my perfect braces line. Anyway, so Bruce Dickinson, the first show, first time he's performed solo since like 2012 at the Whiskey. Check it out. This is accident of birth. Probably his best solo album. Either that or Tattooed Millionaire. Take your pick.
I like Tattooed Millionaire. Too long without sleep to continue
his journey. Now, on the set list, no Tattooed Millionaire, but he did do a cover of Edgar Winter's Frankenstein, which I think is a big oversight. Obviously, Bruce does not want to play Tattoo Billionaire. Because God knows everyone wants to hear it.
He's an artist, CJ. You wouldn't understand.
I'm not going to question the rock god. Oh, Brad, there's a keytar. No, let's watch and see if we can figure out, A, how the fuck a keytar works, and how hot this bass player is. This is not exactly.
Does the video
like...
come in any clearer?
Yes.
No, it's Whiskey a Go-Go, probably. Oh, it does?
Not exactly like running out on stage at Donington.
Holy fucking
I feel like her stockings.
Yes, I concur, Brad.
I think I can remember seeing video screens at the Whiskey.
We're cutting this one tight, aren't we?
That keyboard has found the bass riffs. Well, now he's not, but he was.
Is that keytarist? Is he from Kaja Gugu? For the Thompson Twins?
He actually has like a keytar solo. I don't know if we're gonna actually get to see it because I ran out of time. Too much yakking.
Brad.
It wasn't me.
Oh, wait. Here it comes.
Oh, shit. Rock that keytar, baby.
He's following the guitar patterns. He's not playing a solo.
Just wait, Brad. Oh. Hey, that's the rock wire. If you made it this long, subscribe.
This buildup is killing me.
It's probably a good thing it's going to end before anybody has to be suffering through this guitar solo. Run away, run away. Oh. He is so... tapping those keys.
That's the rock wire.
Yeah. I think you said that like 3 times now. Can you get one more in?
This is Derek. See ya.
Man, rock on, my fellow rockers.
Those are nice stock